Welcome to the Smarter Software Outsourcing Podcast. I'm Frederick Joy, and you might know me as the co-founder of Arcanis, a software team augmentation firm in the Philippines, and more recently, Bulgaria. In this series of the podcast that I like to call Outsourcing Stories, I interview tech founders and executives who have been hiring resources from us for quite some time. I let them share their experience working with our dedicated remote developers and how the staffing model helps them accelerate product development and cut their time to market without having to increase or go over their budgets. And so I really believe transparent and no BS relationships are the only true way to bring entrepreneurs the peace of mind they deserve. And the same is true on this podcast. So you'll get nothing but honest and unfiltered feedback. Today, I'm happy to receive Kubani founder and CEO, Jeff Robinson. Kubani is a full suite of B2B solutions for sales and for customer management.
I feel like I'm uniquely positioned because I've probably spent almost $1 million in the last 10 years with outsourcing companies.
And, wow, okay.
So I feel for entrepreneurs that are out there with a great idea, and then they say, I need to find someone to help build it. And I could be a very good coach and help them understand the complexities and the roadblocks they're going to hit
and
taking that project on.
So, I mean, are you saying that if, for example, I have like someone who's, you know, not sure about making the move, I could say, well, maybe you want to, you know, talk with Jeff and explain your experience, or is this something you'd be willing to do? I mean, I'm just to think.
Okay. No, absolutely. I mean, the reality is if we take a look at the business model in outsourcing, you have an entrepreneur that comes along. There's two types of people. An entrepreneur comes along, goes, I've got a great idea. I need you to build something. And you may have an existing IT company that needs some bandwidth. And they say, hey, I need to bring someone on. I mean, there might be some more use cases, I'm not sure, but those seem the obvious ones in front of me. That being said, I fall into the first one. You know, I sold my last company. I had some capital. I had a lot of relationships in the particular vertical I was in. And I said, how can I utilize points of pain they have and build something that could take me to the next level? And I found a sponsor, a company that said, we really need some tools. And I had a... visited a trade show a couple of times, kept seeing the same company, and they were very, very due diligence in their sales process and courted me very well, and I ended up coming on board with them. Interestingly enough, this company grew from 200 or 300 resources to 2,000 resources. And it just the amount of what I found in the prior to meeting you guys is you meet entrepreneurs that basically say, or outsourcing companies that consistently will just say, yes, 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 yes. They don't push back. And if you're an entrepreneur like me, you might not really know. I am not a technologist. I mean, I've been in technology all my life, but I'm not a technologist and at the sense of a technologist. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a visionary.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what I found unique with you guys is I found a partner. And that the team that I work with challenges my ideas and says, yeah, but this is probably a better way to go. Why don't you rethink that? Mm. And if you do it like that, it really, it won't be expensive and a multi-tenant asset because you're going to have this and this. So we do it this way. And that is the most refreshing thing in the world to have people that actually are not just looking at me as a customer, like I'm going to a restaurant saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And actually, you might not want to have dessert first. You might want to start with your salad, okay, and your soup, and then your entree, and then do dessert at the end, you know. And they're not doing that. The other companies will just say yes to anything you do, what inevitably leads you down very, very expensive rabbit holes, and the technical debt you incur is so significant that you're really in this never ending treadmill of spending money to try to get back to where you need to be. Case in point for me, the first company I worked with for about a year and a half, 2 years, we spent about $300,000. And the objective was to have a multi-tenant platform. And at the end of the day, we had a house of cards, very unstable, that would absolutely be impossible to board a second client onto. It was basically an application for one client, and it was just it was a deck of cards. So I just find it interesting with you and the documentation and the complete Scrum methodology we work with. I didn't even know what Scrum was till you guys really, I'd read about it, but all of a sudden you guys were like teaching me, we have to do a reflection call and here we're doing our stand up and here we're, and I have to review everybody once a quarter. And it's just so structured that it's like, you're forcing me to be a technologist. It's like,
someone has to be on the client side, right?
Listen, I'm not just a customer. It's like, no, you're part of the team and let's get you on board. This is how we do these calls. And this is how we do this. And I consult with a very large technology company, in the grocery industry, and they started the Scrum methodology about a year ago. And it was funny because I all of a sudden was like a guru to them. Because I'm like, oh, they're like, oh, you know what that is? Like, yeah, I've been doing this for a while now. This is the way to go. And you get your sprint, cool. And we'll do this. And what's your roadmap look like? And I'm like, yeah, we've been following this at the highest level of integrity and the process. And that's just something that really, I think as an entrepreneur, you really need. The other thing that I find interesting, and no one ever talks about, and this is where I was consulting, is that no one ever talks about support. I want the team that comes along, the entrepreneur that comes along and says, "Hey, I've got a large technology company, and I need you to build something for me." That's fine because you can hand it off to them, and they can support what you built. Yep. But that other kind of entrepreneur that comes to you and says, "I have an idea." No one talks about who's going to support this. How's it documented? And that's where a lot of these outsourcing companies really have, I call the golden handcuffs, because you're forced to stay with a company that can be inferior with code that's not documented, that's spaghetti code that someone jumps into, and you literally have this environment that it's not sustainable. Now, with what we've done with our comments is we have a documented stack that we could take anywhere. But quite honestly, to me, I just put into my budget having you like your staff. And what's wonderful is as I'm working with clients, you have my email extension. So my clients think you guys are me. They'll look at different people as they respond. They're like, oh, this is your team. And so it's
it is your team. It is your team.
And the other thing is attrition. I mean, I'm in both. I think I've run into some entrepreneurs that have outsourced and they say the same thing when you go long-term. The amount of attrition that exists, and boy, you just get, I mean, the level of talent that you find out there in the outsourcing world can be so varied, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all of a sudden
right.
you have a project manager that seems to know what's going on. The language you finally figured out, so it's not a barrier, and sometimes it very, very, very much is. And then that person moves on because he found a better paycheck somewhere else. And then you get someone new, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've been with you for over 2 years now, and we've not had any attrition at all. The same team. And it's like we're family. I mean, I literally feel like we're family. I want to send birthday cards.
Awesome. You know, that's what we want for you to feel like. I mean, you trusted us, right, with your project at first, and we told you that we'd build a team for you, and so I believe what you're saying is that we did, and because you built something with a team that, I mean, was with you from the start of the project, you of course want to keep them for as long as possible because they have all the knowledge with them, and so our job as your partner is to make sure that these guys stay, with you for as long as possible with the right skills, the right mindset, all that you're paying us for, basically. And we can't exclude that someone is going to leave at some point, but our job is to make sure that they stay for as long as we can keep them. And so it means good compensation, good progression. I mean, good growth in their jobs with learnings, and I mean, taking care of them in terms of the healthcare, the family healthcare as well, and I don't know, gym memberships and food and the community actually, yeah.
Your business model is very unique in that it seems like, just in talking to Alan and stuff, it's like you really kind of cherry pick who you want to work with. And I've actually referred someone over to you that was needing a technologist, and Alan told me, thank you so much, but it wasn't a good fit.
Yeah.
And I think that really is a neat for you to be able to have the, be in a position where you're not desperate for business and you're handpicking who you want to work with. That's going to fit your business model, because your business model is not the same as many outsourcing companies. They are just dollar bill, sign them up, keep them paying money. And that's not the way you guys operate. You know, you look at the project, you look at what the objective of the company is. And that's, it's almost like we had to audition for you to find it.
It goes both ways, right? But it's a mistake we were making at the beginning when we started like 12 years ago, right? We just tried to get business and stuff, and then we had some failures. And so we refined the way we would start collaborating with clients and things like that until we made sure that, I mean, the client was happy to work with us and that we were happy to stay with the client as well. And I think it's, you know, it just helps us be better with the clients we chose to work with, and it helps us being a better company for whoever we're going to work with in the future. So you're right. I mean, thanks for noticing that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do remember we had a project manager it was already told to us, this is a temporary project manager, and we'll be moving someone in. And about 6 months later, we moved Geraldine in. And, you know, I've been in management most of my life, and watching the process for that transition was so wonderful. I mean, they shadowed each other for like a month. It's like, wow. Like, it wasn't like, here you go, good luck. It was like, no, it was the transition was seamless. I mean, when Geraldine jumped on, she was completely 100%, like she was already part of the team because she'd been on so many calls. And, you know, whoever's orchestrating that type of management really has their act together, because that's, you know, when you're trusting somebody with your vision and your roadmap and making sure things get delivered right and documented right, you know, you can't have the friction that happens when, you know, natural things happen. And I just was so impressed by the time we said bye to the temporary project manager, Geraldine, it was hugs and kisses, but I'm like, man, get in the seat, Geraldine. I'm psyched to have you on board. Like, it was like, you know, it's fun because, you know, life is mundane. You got to go through life. And I look so forward to our stand-up calls. You know, so I get to chat with my friends and we get to find out what we're doing in our project. It's like a relationship. It's not just purely business. And that's just wonderful.
I think you're so lucky. I mean, I've worked with Geraldine because she was handling all my marketing efforts in terms of like managing the website and the devs and stuff. And I mean, she's really, I mean, I love working with Geraldine. She's super switched on. So I think you also really get she's lovely to work with. So I understand what you're saying.
And the responsiveness I have, I mean, because of the hour changes, I think the most important thing for anybody taking on outsourcing is communication. And I can't stress that enough, because, you know, I'm not picking at any particular dialect or any particular country, but I can tell you the amount of effort spent on simply saying, you know, the world date format as an example is one way, and the US does it another way.
That's
and
true.
You say that, and then all of a sudden a month later, another place where a date comes up, it's wrong. I'm like, guys, we've covered this 100 times. And then it takes 4 or 5 phone calls to get it corrected. I'm like just because it's not anything on them. It's just, they just don't understand the language. Yeah. And it, you know, with you and your team, everything is so clear. And I'll have one of the team members write a response to something that I might need. And they send me a documented email worded perfectly in perfect English. I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's no language barrier. It's like we're in the same town chatting every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, most companies, unfortunately, you don't get that, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, but in the Philippines, right, I mean, we already have less of a language issue than in other countries. And the second thing is, because we're in Cebu, I think the English level is even better than if it were in Manila. I think we're just in the right place for at least the English communication. And of course, then there's the training of the guys. We do what we call these cultural trainings as well. So teach our guys to be communicating effectively with Western clients, because that's the most type of clients we have, like almost exclusively Western clients from the US, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And so we have to train our guys to understand how they have to communicate with the client.
What I think is just brilliant, and you don't see enough in the US, is egos. And I've worked for some pretty big teams in the US in my past, and you get everyone's claiming their turf and they got egos. And when I watch the way they share ideas, they review code together, they're all just like, there's no ego about it. It's like, they're more than happy to say, yeah, we reviewed it with one of the teammates and he made a suggestion, so I'm gonna make that modification. I think it's a better way to go. And I don't know if we're just egotistical over here, but no one would be that humble to go, yeah, he had a better idea than me. Like, everyone's like, no, my idea is the best. And it's like, they're all on the same page as, let's make this the best we can.
Yeah.
And that's the objective, not make me look better than you. And yeah, that's just, it's your culture. I don't know, but it's refreshing. It's just refreshing.
I think it's a bit of both, like the culture. I mean, in the Philippines, it's like they are working in groups, right? It's like this group kind of culture. But also in the company, we're a flat organization. So no one's like someone's boss. So you can't become someone's boss by just being better. It's about you being technically good, and you are being evaluated on your technical knowledge. So I don't think there's any incentive for them to steal from each other. At least we try to really be careful about that and make sure that we're not entering a political type of company. So that it fosters collaboration and sharing of ideas and no finger pointing and things like that. We just try to improve whatever we're doing with each other. So yeah.
I also like the fact that we have like people like Eric that we can bring on into calls and conversations into our roadmap and say we're planning on doing this, and let's reach out to Eric and get his feedback and bring in some senior people.
Yeah.
So just basically get feedback and challenge the team. And it's like, you really have everything in one little box over there. I mean, cause with your designers, like Ken, it's just like his UI stuff he's doing. It's just phenomenal,
Yeah.
And I'll be on a call saying, guys, can't we put a button there? And I'll have the team go, no, you're going to completely deviate from the design. Like, oh yeah, you're right. And it's like you need consistency. You need it like this, and you go back to Microsoft, and everything just sort of, regardless which application you're in, the cut paste and everything else is all the same. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes we just go on it. Oh, but do this, and like in previous companies, they go, okay, we'll put that big button over there, and no one says anything. And you guys, your team's like, if you want it, we can. But here's why you wouldn't want to do it, and you want to stay consistent. I really think that's a bad idea. And I just go, thank God someone's challenging me. I love someone. And they're not just saying no. They're saying, here's why you wouldn't want to do it. And that's what you don't get that. And a lot of these outsourcing companies just treat you like you are the boss and whatever you say we'll do. And we don't challenge you. And like, I'm like, I want to be, I begged for both companies prior to you, challenge me. And they just don't, their culture didn't get it.
Yeah.
It was yes, but- yes, 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 yes.
We also do this because you don't have a CTO on your end, right? Because if you had the CTO on your end, he would be playing that role with you. You would have these discussions, and then he would tell the guys to do things, and then so they would do it. And in your case, because you have Eric, the senior architect, and then Ken, our senior designer, they both have like almost, I mean, Ken has probably almost 20 years of experience, and then Eric has more than 20 years of experience as a developer and then a senior architect. Then they can do that. I mean, they're paid to actually do this on your project. So that's I mean, the reason why they're there is to actually make sure to be the, I mean, to guarantee that your project is not going to go in the wrong direction, and that, I mean, they keep the contact with you to make sure that everything you, as a business guy, everything you ask is being considered, thought about, and then smartly implemented if it really makes sense for the business to implement it after, I mean, review.
I feel for entrepreneurs that are on the journey right now of trying to find a company, because frequently you might just go, who's the cheapest? And I actually became good friends with the second company I was with, the project manager in the US, and he off the cuff would talk to me and say, let me explain to you how our bench works and the kind of people we have on our bench. And to my surprise, many people that were on the team, and I had a team with eight people, eight developers, many of them had just 2 years worth of development time. Just two years.
Okay.
And you go, you don't know. They pay him minimal money. It was a complete numbers game. And you're getting these guys jumping into your source code. Okay. Yeah. your mission critical stuff that you might have 100 employees that, you know, in the US working on every day, and they're going, it's not working, and because it's not documented, and someone that just didn't have the experience put one little bit of code in there that all of a sudden has everyone scrambling trying to figure what happened. This is scary. I mean, I'm about quality of life and wowing people, not all of a sudden going, holy cow, the building's on fire. And this is important, and that's what you guys have really given me the peace of mind. And we had an issue, right? And this issue is, hey. In our platform, it's designed for reps in the field, and they can communicate with their ERP platform, and it's got metrics to follow them and GPS stuff to check into locations they visit and stuff like that. And every time there's been a problem, and they're like, hey, I can't check in, it's not working. And I'm like, guys, you know, we just released this module, it's not quite working. It's the location in their ERP is incorrect. And they're more than 500 meters away, which is our criteria for a check-in. And now we've taught them how to check it, and they're updating their ERP platform because their addresses are all off. And it's like, it's not us. It's like, guys, the software's, don't ever send me this that we have a problem. You go into your ERP, get on Google, and see why it's coming up wrong. It's showing you across the street. And it's reassuring. Like, I'm not apologizing. It's like, virtually every time we have an issue, oh yeah, you messed up on your export and you put a little carrot there now, and we didn't mean to, and we didn't expect it. And that's, the software is rock solid. Okay. If you change the criteria and don't tell us, yeah, things are going to happen, but that doesn't affect the quality of our platform. My past was, I go, oh crap, what'd you guys do? Every time it's like, oh, we don't know. And it was us. And it's just peace of mind to just say, let's go build the vision. Let's go bring new customers on. Let's do what the purpose of this project is. And it's not to be putting out fire because we don't have integrity in the coders. It's no, we got to, my objective with both builds with the last two companies was build this ERP product so it'd be a multi-tenant platform. That was the criteria.
I remember when we first had the call.
One deck that we can bring on thousands of customers. I want to compete with HubSpot, with Salesforce. I want to be one of those companies. And we now have that. We have a platform right now that's a multi-tenant platform that's rock solid, that's not a custom deck for one company, that can literally board hundreds and hundreds of companies.
And
I spent 7 years with two companies and at least $750,000 with those two companies, and have nothing but vaporware, just dust.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like, but I'll tell you what, college is expensive. And that was my college.
Wow.
I basically learned how not to develop.
I'm
like, you know what?
Yeah.
I got a master's degree in how not to do it. And that's called being an entrepreneur. Right.
So, with that in mind, can you tell us a little bit about your the team composition that you have now at Arcani? So you mentioned that you had Eric and Ken that are working, I think, part-time on your project. But how many devs do you have, and do you have QAs and stuff?
So we have right now we have three developers, and then we have a QA guy that's testing everything, and then we have Geraldine, our project manager, and that's the limit of the team. We're talking about bringing on one more developer right now to speed up something we're working on, and it's just a matter right now of finishing one project to take that on, you know, and. So that's what we have right now, and we've had them for over 2 years, I believe. I don't see this relationship ever ending, because I don't want to get into the management business. I'm a sales guy. I want to sell this stuff. And have you support it. That's right where we are right now. And there's just no reason to change. It's a very good model we have. Because entrepreneurs want to go, they want to basically go and create stuff.
And you
on the other side of the back end of that, creating it and supporting it.
That's right.
And making sure that the entrepreneur stays on track. I worked in an incubator environment for a year and a half with hundreds of entrepreneurs, and I had my office there, and I had a little team of two employees over there, and. I'm the older guy, okay? You know, I'm 50 something, and I had a lot of these young entrepreneurs come to me, and they would say, "Hey, I was featured in a magazine on the west coast of Florida on the front page. You know, people to watch, so kind of good ego boost for sure." But it created an environment where I was Papa in the building, and a lot of these guys would come with ideas, and I love hearing all these entrepreneurs, but a lot of them that's the world that people are in. They want to build something, and they don't think it out. And they don't think beyond, I really want to build this widget. And there's so much more to it. It's like, who's going to support it? How's it going to work? Do you have the expertise to even understand working in this Scrum environment and looking at a roadmap and doing the evaluations? And a lot of these companies they can just walk into, and some people will just go online, try to find a developer. And then that guy's got the handcuffs on you because he basically controls your bank account. And then if you go to a company, you have no idea about the quality of the people you get. And then you have no exit strategy. And what you've done is you've literally made an environment where even if I bring on my own devs over here, they can work in tandem. I have so many ways to work this because of what you've created. And I just don't, we interviewed three companies before finding you. And
so,
it was hands down, we wanted to work with you. You hit all the criteria. I now knew what I was looking for.
How did you find us? I mean, how did you find us? And so, you found us because you weren't happy with the current, the second company, if I understand well, that you were working with. Did you Google us or what's the,
I brought in a CTO. I'd known him for years. He really wasn't a CTO, but he was a developer, and a very well-read individual. And we went down and we spent, $30,000 with a company in Chicago to prove out our model and help us with some management. And they pointed us to two teams they work with in Argentina and somewhere else. And we started looking at the criteria with that team, you know. We respect these guys. They built some pretty large things, this consulting company. And they kind of gave us a criteria list of what to look for and why they were recommending these two development companies. And from looking at that, we ended up finding you through research through Google. And my CTO goes, "Hey, yeah, these guys here, but you know, this company here is also really promising." And we ended up having dialogue with you. And once we had the initial phone calls, I was instantly intrigued by your business model. I'm like, this is, you're different. The way you spoke was different. It wasn't just your typical sign up and get on the treadmill. It was more like, and that's what I've been looking for, a relationship with someone that could be I call you a partner in every respect of that, because you challenge what I'm saying, you challenge us, and that's what we needed. And the other companies were more like, what do you want? We'll build it. Well, I'm not an architect. I can't build a house. I don't understand engineering. I know I want a pool on the second floor. Can you figure that out? Okay. I'm not going to tell you how to support it. Whereas in your environment, they're like, well, if you're going to put a pool on the second floor, we got to do this and this and this and this. And if you want more than one tenant, then you got to be doing this and this and this and this. And we got to document it like this and this and this. And that was the kind of stuff I couldn't find anywhere else.
Okay.
And that's where these entrepreneurs out here trying, they've got to be thinking about like just the simple word documentation. It's so vital. I mean, it doesn't seem important to an entrepreneur. You know, you're an A-type personality. You're like, let's just go build it. You got to stop and slow down and go, hey, are they going to document your code right? I mean, it's kind of boring, but if it's not documented,
it has to be done.
It costs a little bit of money to do that, but that's you want something sustainable that you can grow with, and you have to have that. Now it's funny because we ended up pulling the CTO that I had was adamant on this particular database engine that we ended up moving away from. We had Eric on the phone. We had our team on the phone. We debated it. June, we analyzed. You guys helped me analyze costs and performers going forward. And together we made the decision to do this. And for the last,
I think it was delaying the project. Was it not delaying the project? And we weren't able to get, because it was from another provider and we weren't able to get the answers we wanted. Was it that? Because I followed the projects, not really close by, but I remember there were some problems.
We went to this offline first database engine that my CTO picked. And what ended up happening is the cost per client made it that basically I was an employee for this company. There's no way to be able to generate profit when you're paying this kind of money annually for their engine. And the engine was very unique, had many complexities to it. I mean, it's really the whole platform was really designed for an offline first environment. And we don't need that. We're not driving cars, you know, down the road. You know, we needed something that's more robust, more cost effective, so the cost of running the business could be minimal, so we
lower.
Get a profit.
This
model was such that it was, you know, I think $6,000 per client per year, just to have an engine that was not robust. And our team, we paid for them to get trained on it. They were able to make it work. Infinite scroll and stuff would not work right, and they're like, oh yeah, they haven't got a bug fix for that yet, and finally, we had the best minds you guys have help us pick the best way to go, the most cost effective, most robust, and we're almost finished with it. And what was interesting though is we basically rebuilt the back end, and watching the logic, they didn't just go, we're rebuilding it. We're like, what did we learn from the first one? How can we make it better? 2.0, and it's like that's just kind of cool. Like, remember, we couldn't do that. Now we can. I literally am working, you know, this whole Zoom mentality now with COVID and stuff. We're all working from home no matter what, right? Well, I feel you guys are you're all my neighbors, and we're just do this every day.
So my next question was like, how often do you chat with them? Like, do you talk to the whole team every day, or how's the... Because the first thing we need to say also is you're in Florida, so that's like you're 12 or 13 hours apart from the team. So how does this work? Because it's kind of unusual that we work with half of the time. I mean, more than 8 hours difference, time difference. So how does it work? Can you tell me?
It works. It works wonderful. So we have a stand up every single day, or 5 days a week. So Sunday, we have the time change here. So based on what time of the year, it could be 9 o'clock or 10 p.m. Our stand-ups typically last 10 minutes to 15 minutes. So I'm doing it Sunday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, when we finish a sprint, our sprints can last up to 3 weeks. We're not religious on the 2 weeks right now because of what we're doing, but typically it's 2 weeks. And then we'll do a demo, and the demos, when they'll basically review everything they've done.
Yep.
In that sprint.
Yeah.
You know, every night when we do our thing, we're going through Jura and going through the ticket numbers and what they've done, what they've completed, what's been tested. And I really love the testing part because they'll point out that wasn't quite working. Like, I'm not finding that, they're finding it. And by the way, that's unique also, because the way I used to find out is it went live and people started complaining.
That's not the right way to find it. Yeah.
No, that's not the right way. So nope, that's not quite working. It's delay on that. We can speed it up. So that's this harmonious. And then we have a couple other calls that we'll have during the sprint process. We'll be looking at the roadmap, deciding what's going to go out. You know, so we want to look two or three sprints back. Say, okay, what's going to go into the sprint coming up? What's the sprint after that? So they can start lining things up. And then if we need to be able to utilize your designer, Ken. We want to have that stuff done at least a sprint and a half up front, so we're not waiting. It's all about efficiency, right? So, like, you guys are training me on this. So, you know, we want to have the design stuff all done, a sprint, at least one sprint in front of the sprint. So
that's true.
If we're two sprints back, we work on design. So that's done. If the guys want to look over the mountain there and glance at it, they got to know what's coming up, you know, just to get their brains conditioned for it, you know, and away we go. So it's 5 days a week, and it's just very, very efficient. And I have some technologists that I'll have them sitting next to me. They're like, I love your team. This guy's really smart. How'd you find those guys? They're freaking brilliant there. Yeah.
On Google. You know, so it's kind of fun. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to brag.
And so how does it, collaborating with us impact your business? I mean, it allows you to sell more, to be more free because you trust the team, or what do you gain most besides the fact that we can actually build software, but which should be a given, but the rest of the collaboration, what does it help you to do?
Well, it's really, really important just for in sales. And I guess it depends on the kind of person, but for me, integrity is everything. So I'm not going to sell you something to get your money. I have to sell you something that I believe in. If I don't believe in it, I'm not going to sell it. I don't need the money. So it's helped me have the confidence to go to large companies and say, look at this amazing product. Okay. Look at the team we have. Look at the kind of infrastructure we have. And I can do that working on my living room because of you. Yeah, so in the past, I had to be everything. If there's an issue, I can fire off an email 24/7 or use Slack and put it out on our board and get a response usually within 4 hours, regardless of the time, because everybody pops up and looks around and get response detailed and be able to get answers. And that's it makes it just so you can build a complete company around this kind of partnership.
Yeah.
We're all working together as one company, and I happen to be the sales guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the VP of sales. Okay. Yeah. I may have a CEO title, but I'm the VP of sales, and I can bring on customers. And the confidence that you have when we're in the process of boarding a company right now that does around $600 million a year. And when they bring their team on board for calls, and we have June on there.
Yeah.
They're literally, we'll do a 10-minute call, deep dive, and they spend 10 more minutes asking questions of what he thinks of this, what he thinks. Like, they're interviewing. I'm like, look, guys, you can't do this to my guys. Okay. You want to pay by the hour to talk to him? He's not your consultant. But they're literally going, oh, what'd you think of that? Dude's like, just boom, boom, boom. I mean, he just has all the answers. Like, and they're like, they instantly went and said, you guys have your act together. Like, frequently in the past, be like, okay, this is going to be a deck of cards. And just a phone call with a high-end IT team with these SAP developers that are part of their team. They got some pretty deep pockets over there. They're this company knows what they're doing. And that's
great to hear.
I don't need to say a damn thing other than let me introduce some of my team. And the confidence to do that makes you willing to take on anybody. It's not like, hey, I wonder if they'll give me some money and then they're stuck in my relationship. I'm like, no, we don't need you. We can help you. Look at our team. Yeah. And that just that kind of confidence is I'm blessed. I really am.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. You know, like every time I hear something like that, I'm super happy because we've managed to do what we said would do when we started discussing. I remember the first call I had with, I think we were three in the call. That's cool. Another question, do you think you would have been able to do the same thing with like a team of in-house developers? What's your take on that?
There's no way. There's no way for a variety of reasons. First of all, if you don't have the experience in hiring and managing, okay, mm-hmm. You need to bring on the right CTO that can bring on the right team.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's, okay? Yeah. And they've got to have the discipline in management and being able to build the right team and follow, the methodology of Scrum exactly the way it needs to be to pull it off. And then we have the incredible amount of costs involved. Okay. Yeah. And then nothing wrong with the US. They're constantly being recruited and bombarded by recruiters. So to maintain an integrity team, it's challenging for a startup.
Yeah.
If we're an established company, we've got great stock options and we can play the game and you can put the golden handcuffs on your guys, that's great. But as a startup, you're constantly looking at cash flow and you're really at the mercy of the team. And I've met some really strong developers and they find themselves better being outsourcing and doing projects than working for a company. They'd rather jump around and go make as much as they can per movie and go do that one, that one, that one.
Yeah.
And that's a better model for them. They have the freedom. And that's kind of the US. Here, we have some folks that you put together that are more than happy part of a team, that are delighted in seeing a project continue to grow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's like a, my company's adopted your culture. Like I'm following your culture and I'm in it. And it's cool. I feel like I'm really an extension of your company. And that's what's kind of fun. It's
usually it should be the other way around, but okay, that's cool.
Once again, my objective is simply, I love building things and I love seeing people benefit from the ideas.
Yeah.
That my sort process, money always comes if you do a good job.
Yeah,
my sort process is can we look down on the ground and say, hey, there's clearly a problem with these things not linking together, and can we fix that problem? And if you make that solution, there's a benefit to the person that needs the benefit. So we found a clear solution where these ERP platforms that are so big and heavy take development teams to run reports and give data to people that need mission critical data. Now we have a simple universal desktop app, however you want to access it, that regardless of where you are or how you want to do it, you can get the data you need to do your job more effectively. And managers can now manage their team with metrics that they can see that are so robust that the solution is wonderful. When people see what we built, when I get to go to trade shows, which I'm actually going to one this weekend in Las Vegas, and I get to meet with these CEOs, they are blown away by what we have. They're like,
really? Wow.
We did not know this existed. This is not a CRM product. I mean, this product is so robust. They're like, you've literally taken all the key components with following my team, with following how they prospect, with digital assets and giving them the tools they need that we can follow which ones work the best, all in one environment. So it's like, we feel so proud that this vision, through the feedback of our customers, by asking them lots of questions, we can then put this on in paper, get with the team, figure out how we're gonna make it work. And we've literally built something from feedback of people that use the product. And I, when I do this, and I love doing this, I remember when I went to the first company, I reached out to them with a presentation I did in PowerPoint. I said, it's going to cost this much money. And the owner had 9 suits there. And he said, and then I went to the next page, and it's this much per year. It's a SaaS model. And he goes, I'm not paying that. I said, well, respectfully, we're not going to do this. And he got quiet, and all the suits were like, and he finally goes, whoever speaks next, loses, right? And I didn't say anything. I said, no thanks, but thanks. And he goes, fine, you can do it. But my point is that I said, in order to do this, I want to spend at least a week and a half to 2 weeks in the field with your reps. And they said, you don't need to do that. I said, I'm not going to build it then. I said, what do you mean? We will tell you what you need. I said, yeah, I want to hear what you need, but I also want to go to the field and hear what they need. Because they're going to tell me things that you don't even know. And you know,
Yeah, of course.
And they gave me, and when I came back, the manager said, by the way, they really need this. Like, they do? I'm like, yeah, they all need that. And so we built this vision or this product, our third time now with you, that's the most refined version of those needs. And finally, in a capacity that could be multi-tenant, that literally the only thing limiting us right now is marketing. Marketing and sales, that's our limit. So that's really where we are today.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So maybe I shouldn't be taking too much of your time since you're the guy who's being limited in the marketing and sales. Yeah, I don't know if you wanted to add anything. I mean, you've said so many nice things. Thank you. You know what? I'm so happy. You're so happy. You know, like, I was thinking during the interview that I'm going to tell Alan, look, you're going to listen to the interview I had with Jeff, because I think it will make him happy as well. It's awesome. Well,
you know, and that's what life's all about, being happy. I'm really selfish. I really like to be happy. You guys cause me no stress, and it just makes me proud. I mean, I feel like I'm delivering. I've got a little baby that's growing into be a rocket scientist, you know, and it's like, this software is just so beautiful. It's like art, you know, and I show it to you constantly. It's like, it's just so stable. It always works. It's like, damn, like, yeah, it's like holy crap. This is
cool.
And yeah. Now it's like, it runs down the track at 100 miles an hour. It's like, wow. You know, that's the collaboration, right? What's the guy's name? Steve Jobs. You know, he wasn't a coder, but he found people. And I remember he said that it's not about finding coders, it's about finding artists.
That's true.
You know, and I feel like you guys are artists. You know, and I just got the vision.
Who code? But yeah. Well, that's cool. Okay. Well, it was a lot more than I expected. So thanks a lot.
Need me to talk to somebody on the fence?
Yeah.
You just set it up. I'll sell them.
Sure. Okay.
I'll scare the piss out of them. Okay. I'll scare the piss out of them and make them go. Because I'll just say, I'll walk you through my world. How much money you have to burn? How much time you have to burn? Because you can make some big mistakes real fast.
Listening to you, I think I'm going to try to work with this company called Arcanis. They really seem really nice. I think you sold me our company. So, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, thank you.
Use me anytime. You guys have been more than gracious.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like it, rate it, or share it with someone who could benefit from it. Get in touch and tell me what you think on LinkedIn at Frederick Joy or via the link in the description below.